Hey, I'm Tyler Yaremchuk, host of Inside the Crew on BTIHockey.com. Join me every Wednesday for exclusive interviews, insight, and everything else you need to stay up to date with the Sherwood Park Crusaders. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from, and keep it locked on BTIHockey.com for all your junior hockey needs.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Love Wrestling. Spencer Love here with another professional wrestler I'm very excited to chat with after being a very, very big fan for the last little bit. Casey Lennox joining me on the show for the first time and hopefully not the last. Casey, it's great to have you on, man. Like I'm sure a lot of people have told you or a lot of people have experienced, since this pandemic, I've had so much time on my hands. I've sat down, I've tried to watch as much pro wrestling as possible. And luckily enough, I came across you right at the start of this thing in sort of March, April. And since then, like I said, I've really enjoyed watching you wrestle. Luckily enough, you'd have some cool opportunities come up since then. We're going to chat about all of them, man. But first and foremost, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm alive. I'm in shape. I'm healthy. I just got over COVID. So I'm good. We're good.
Good. What was that like dealing with? You're actually, I believe, the first person I've had on have the dubious honor, I suppose, that actually had it. Are you feeling okay? Are things doing all right with that?
So I don't know if my test was like a false positive or not. Simply because like I never had any symptoms. Good. And then everyone in my family obviously got tested, you know, after I tested positive, but they all came back negative, and like everybody that I work with came back negative. So I'm going to go with the fact that I didn't have it. Cause I don't know. I have tested, you know, after that, and it did come back negative. So that's what makes me also think it was a false positive. But I'm great. I mean, I was working out, doing burpees and all this lovely cardio stuff to keep me in shape. But I'm good.
Good. Glad to hear. Now, I know I said you've been lucky enough to be one of the individuals who's had the chance to wrestle at least a couple of times since the pandemic's happened, but how did you find yourself maybe staying in mental shape for it or preparing for a return to the ring when, unlike you usually do, you're not wrestling every weekend? I'm assuming it's hard to find a ring to train in when everything shut down. How did you stay prepared for getting back into it?
So actually in Florida, pretty much like everything is open. So people are having shows literally pretty much every weekend. I am taking proper precautions and not, you know, doing every show that's in Florida. But the school that I train at now, Devon Dudley Academy, is actually open, and it has been open I've been there for at least 3 months. So it's been open for awesome. That long. Before that I was at Pro Wrestling 2.0. So they were open. So pretty much when our governor said, "Hey guys, you can do whatever you want," the schools opens back up. At Devon's right now, I mean, when we're not wrestling or when we're not doing, our Emmys, we do have to wear masks. He checks our temperature, stuff like that. So he definitely takes the precautions. So that's kind of how I stayed in it mentally. Other than that, getting my workouts in outside with all the ants and in the sun and hot mess, but it was a very hot mess, but that's how I kind of just stayed in it. And I, you know, continuously watched wrestling, came up with new moves, new spots, stuff like that. So that's how I stayed prepared.
What's it been like training with Devon? Because you mentioned you've been there for about 3 months now. It's more than just getting your feet wet by this point. You know, you hear about a lot of great professional wrestlers that get into training, but there maybe are some out there who aren't as great at trainers as they were wrestlers. What makes Devon great? How have you enjoyed the experience of learning from somebody who's a legend in the business? Let's not make any bones about it.
Right. So training with Devon is incredible. And there's no like harsh stuff towards anybody else that I trained with. But Devon he like drills it into your head. He doesn't just give out like a move or a spot to do and then have you do it. And then if you do it, great. If you don't do it, like, he's not like that. Like, he literally has you do the spot over and over and over again until it's crisp and clean and, you know, it's what it's supposed to be. And he's like that because he doesn't want us to go up to WWE or AEW or Impact or whatever and have, you know, have a crappy match.
Yeah.
Because his name is like his name is on us. So that's why he does it. And honestly, I completely respect it. You wouldn't want somebody, you know, using your name and then being a crappy person. So I completely understand it. But I love it. And actually Ace Steele, who I trained with before D-Von, he was the same way. Like he literally made us do it time and time and time again until it was crisp and clean. So it's really good to learn from D-Von. And then we have Dan Carr, who is the muscular endurance trainer. So he blows us up. But you know, we need that because sometimes we have to go on and do like 20, 30, 40, 60 minute matches. So we need that endurance. But I love training with D-Von and everybody's so supportive. It's a really big school. It's continuing to grow. I believe we have over 20 students like right now, cool. Like 20 new students. So yeah, I'm excited. I should have been there a long time ago.
I was going to say, in listening to previous interviews with you and, you know, elaborate as much as you want on it, but it sounds like it very, very, it's very different than your first experience training when you were 18 with Gilbert's Academy. Hey,
it is. it is different. And I'm also going to preface this with saying that I'm also a different person. At 18 years old, training at Gilbert's, I was just, you know, so excited to get in a ring and get to train. And, you know, that was my first actual experience with wrestling. Now, fast forward 10 years, and it's like, I know a lot more about the inside of wrestling than I did when I was 18. So like comparing those two things, it's kind of hard sometimes, but we definitely did not do half of the stuff that we do at D-Von's right now. So yeah, I should have definitely came here a long time ago.
You mentioned growing as a person, but as far as professional wrestling goes, number one, I just don't think people realize how long you've actually been wrestling for. It's about 10 years, right? Since that point where you would have first stepped in the ring. You know, obviously the experience of getting in the ring and getting your reps in would just improve you overall. But as a pro wrestler, where do you maybe find you've changed the most or grown the most in your time as a pro wrestler itself?
So I will definitely say, I feel like I have been in wrestling for 10 years, but like, when I think about that, like 5-year hiatus that I took, I'm like, have I really been in wrestling for 10 years?
Is it cumulative? I mean, I guess just go by the days.
Yeah. How many injuries did I have to take off? Blah, blah, blah. I definitely feel like I've grown in the aspect of being more confident in myself. Back then, and even when I started in 2016, like, I was so unsure and I wanted to do everything by the book and everything had to be like, you know, called out. And like, if one thing got messed up in a match, then I would totally like freak out and go all deer in headlights. So that is definitely where I feel like I have progressed the most. Just being confident in the ring, you know, knowing that I know what to do if one thing gets messed up or if somebody slips or anything crazy like that, just knowing that I am capable of working around it. So I feel like that's where, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it at least seems like as an outsider, it'd be pretty easy for you to pull from people like your Tori Wilsons and your Dawn Marie's and people who you've consistently mentioned as inspirations, right? Let's talk about the Royal Rumble, because again, listening to previous interviews, man, it seems like it was about as perfect as humanely possible for you, right? Bianca Belair wins, Edge wins, Santana Garrett's in it, Tori Wilson's in it. Just give me your thoughts, man, because it literally seems like if Casey Lennox was the fantasy book of Rumble, WWE did it for you this year.
Oh my goodness. So this would probably be my favorite Royal Rumble. And I don't know, like, my opinion is that the girls definitely killed it. And I feel like the girls' Royal Rumble was way better than the guys. Surprise wise, I feel like they had, you know, more surprise people. Carlita, Victoria.
Oh my God.
I know, dude. It's like all the people I grew up on.
Right.
The only one that I would have loved to come back, and I feel like I say this, or I said it in a lot of my tweets, but I would love for Layla to come back. I feel like that's a general consensus around everybody, but yeah. Like she is my all-time, not all-time, but she is one of my favorites from, you know, her time in WWE.
Yeah.
But dude, Santana, like you said, Santana, I definitely didn't expect that. Tori Wilson again.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I'm so excited. I was so excited. And then Bianca and Rhea tore it up towards the end. Congratulations to her. I'm excited to see who, you know, she picks for her match.
Absolutely.
Maybe she'll go to the NXT Raw. I don't know, but I'm excited. But yeah, that Royal Rumble was on point.
I completely agree, man. I completely agree, especially in the case of Edge specifically. You know, you've mentioned him as a dream match before, but even as someone who, not to equate the injuries by any means, but you going through your 6-month stint with the blood clot and taking the time off pro wrestling and questioning whether you were going to get back or not. How does that sort of relate for you to see him sort of not even just come back and come back stronger than ever, which I think, again, is something that you've really, really done.
Oh, thank you. No, seeing Edge come back from something that, you know, could put him in a walker or could, could like literally affect his daily life. Like one wrong bump could have completely made him not be able to walk it like ever again. Mm-hmm. So seeing him come back from something like that, it's obviously definitely inspiring. It makes you want to work 10 times harder. And I mean, look at him like right now.
Yeah.
Like the man is what, like 40 something, and he's in like insane, phenomenal shape. But not only him, like Daniel Bryan coming back from concussions. Mm-hmm. Like it's little things like that where it's like, oh, you're never going to be able to wrestle again. And then to have that desire and that passion and that drive to, no matter what, go to whatever doctor and train however hard you have to train and freaking like do whatever you have to do to get back into the ring. Like if that doesn't inspire regular people, like not
nonetheless
even
pro wrestlers,
I don't know. I don't know what would inspire them. Like that is courage, that is strength, that is, you know, it's passion for their sport, for the thing they love. So yeah, hopefully that inspires numerous other people because it definitely inspires me.
I'm glad to hear. And like I said, it seems to parallel a bit in that since you came back, you've really gone out, you've done your stuff with MLW, you've done your stuff with AEW. I need to ask about MLW though, because selfishly as someone who I should say attempted with a huge, huge air quotes around it, but tried my hand at doing backstage stuff for yourself as someone who had wrestled up to that point, did it make the job easier at all on either end of things, whether maybe announcing or backstage interviewing made your wrestling easier, or being a pro wrestler, getting into the mind of a backstage interviewer? How did those affect your experiences either way, I guess?
So I would say that I don't want to say that it made it easier. I kind of just got thrown into that position to be a backstage interviewer. I will say that I'm like I'm grateful for that opportunity because it's given me another value to wrestling. Like I'm not just a wrestler. I can also do the backstage interviews and I can announce and, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. I'm just grateful for the opportunity. It got eyes on me from literally around the world. Hopefully MLW brings a women's division sometime soon. Hopefully I get contacted for that if they do. But yeah, I mean, I enjoyed interviewing. I enjoyed getting to learn from numerous people from, again, around the world, from people who have been in Impact, WWE, WCW, stuff like that. I'm grateful. So So mm-hmm.
You sort of answered the question already for me, but obviously they're not a promotion that does a ton of intergender, which would limit your opportunities to come back there. But what do you think of what they've done lately? Because it seems like if anybody trying to differentiate themselves over the last little bit, they've really sort of planted their flags as the weird kids in the room, for lack of a better way to put it, you know?
So they definitely use, I would say, people that, you know, might not get to WWE or have been in WWE, but, you know, like you said, the weird kids in the room or the black sheep of wrestling. But they also use the people that nobody has ever heard of. Mm-hmm. So they use like the Myron Reeds or the Snoop Strikes or literally anybody. They use that, and they kind of, it's kind of similar, I would say, to NXT, how NXT like builds their own talent, other than, you know, the Chelsea Greens, Santana Garrett's, Shane Strickland's, like, you know, the talent that already had
the
their
indie
names.
Darlings, quote unquote.
Yeah. MLW has brought in so many people who may have been known in, you know, one region of America, but now they're putting them on TV so much and letting them grow. So now they're, you know, becoming that bigger name. I appreciate that they go both routes and bringing, you know, people that are new and people that may not have such the best rep, the black sheep, because they're still good. Like, they're freaking great. They put on amazing matches.
I think Myron Reed's a perfect example of that, in that before I started watching MLW, I had frankly just never heard of him. And then you start watching every week and it's like, well, he's a match I look forward to every single time he's on a card, right? And it's a nice parallel well, because, you know, AEW Dark, I think, is starting to do a lot of that same thing, whereas, you know, maybe it's not the same comparison in that nobody's had TV experience at that point. You had a lot of other individuals who have wrestled on Dark have to this point, but tell me maybe how that experience came about. Was it through Devon, because you see his kids there now, and maybe there's that natural connection, right? But how did your experience on AEW Dark happen for Casey Lennox?
So I actually was messaged by somebody who works in the company, and essentially they were just like, hey, do you want to come in and do some work for us? Of course, I'm not going to turn it down.
No, sorry, I've got something to do that day.
I know, I'm busy. I actually was, I did have an appointment, because now what they're doing is, I believe they're still taping like 2 days a week. If they're not, they were just doing it for the holidays, so, you know, people could, you know, spend time with their families.
Spend it with their family.
Yeah. Which is nice. I actually could not make the Wednesday taping, which was the live Dynamite. Mm-hmm. So I could only make it that Thursday. So I actually was busy.
You big leagued them.
I know. I was messaged by somebody who worked there, and he was like, you want to come in? And of course I said, yeah. We had to just, you know, fill out all the information, get a COVID test, and then they COVID test you when you get there. I didn't know anything that I was doing. QT had the match card. I was facing Eva Lise, and that is what you guys got. We actually were the last match of the night, and we went on at like 3:00 in the morning.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And it was cold. that was one of the weeks that it was like freezing. So it was like 30 degrees.
Have fun.
No. but it was totally fun. And I'm glad that I got to wrestle with Eva Lise, because she is one of my former trainers. She knows what I'm capable of. She knows that even if I'm like, I can't do it, she literally knows that I can. She believes in me more than I believe in my own self. And a lot of that stuff that I did in the match was actually, you know, like the first time that I had ever done it in a match. I've done it at training. Right, crazy, right? Who does that? Casey does that. I've done it like in training and stuff like that, but I had never actually done some of those moves in matches. So yeah, I'm thankful that I had somebody like Ivelisse to, you know, kind of lead the way and have that faith in me. So yeah, hopefully I go back and fingers crossed. Double fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Well, I will do whatever I can in my own small non-ability to politicking ways to make it happen. But was going to say, like, it must have made it that much easier for you to have the opportunity to get in there with someone you had wrestled before, sort of take that little bit of pressure off. Hey, good.
Yeah, it makes it easy, but it's also like, oh my gosh, I can't mess up because like it's Ivelisse she knows me. but I'm glad it all came off well, I feel. And I didn't have any crazy like talk about the match per se. Other things.
Well, and I was gonna say you've got the opportunity to clap back if you want her, but I know there were a lot of people out there saying that perhaps there were some aspects of an entrance taken or borrowed or whatever phrase you want to put on it. So what would you like to say to most of the people out there as far as your entrance?
I mean, so when I did the entrance, like it wasn't even something that I thought about. I didn't even know like what entrance music I have. And for wrestlers, you always want to like, I feel like know your entrance music so you can get into the, like how you're going to walk out, how you're going to pose, stuff like that. So when I went out, it was literally like, I heard my music. I went out, did my, let's go. And then I just got into this pose that I do in like literally all of my pictures, which is this.
Yeah.
and like I post so many pictures and like, I'm going to make a collage so that they have proof that I do this pose a lot. So I did that and I, you know, got in the ring and then I did the foot over the rope thing and I did the peace sign like up in the air. And I didn't even think about it. It's just something that like, it's just natural for me to do. Like I do at some indie shows, like I do, they're going to say it's like Carmella, where she used to step on the bottom rope and then lean forward and like stick her tongue out or something like that. Like I just do whatever feels natural.
Whatever's the flavor of the day.
Yes. Thank you very much. I love Billie Kay. I wasn't trying to steal her entrance or anything crazy like that. She actually, and not a lot of people know this because it's like, it's not something that comes up, but like at my tryout, she's the one who took Matt Bloom aside and asked if she could help me do 3/4 rolls. So like,
very cool.
I'm not like, I wasn't like trying to steal anything from her. I definitely love her character, who she is. She's great, but I wasn't trying to steal anything.
Well, I was going to say, if you look at pretty well anything in pro wrestling, you can find where it was borrowed, taken, stolen from. Anybody can make a connection anywhere. It's almost like a giant conspiracy theory. You know what I mean? If you look hard enough, you'll find it.
Right. Like, I don't know. I love her though. And obviously I will not do that again. But I mean, you live and learn. I was way more concerned with making sure the match went off smooth over my entrance. So I don't know. I just didn't even think about it, to be honest.
Fair enough, my friend. Well, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask to close her out here on the show before I let you plug your social media where people can see that collage when you inevitably release it. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask, when can we expect a return appearance, if we can expect a return appearance on AEW Dark Dynamite or whatever else they may be coming out in the next couple of months.
I don't even know. I stay in contact with the person who contacted me. So hopefully I come back soon. I mean, other than AEW, I do have some other big stuff coming up that I can't, you know, speak about now. But I'll be posting pictures when it does happen. So.
Excellent. It gives me another great excuse as if I needed another one to have you back on the show again sooner rather than later.
Oh, thank you.
No, Casey, thank you. This was an absolute blast. I appreciate the hell out of the time. I appreciate the opportunity to get to watch you wrestle over the last little bit. You made a pandemic easier, my friend. If anybody else wants to check you out in your professional wrestling career or anything else you may get up to outside of it in the near future, where can people keep track of you?
So literally all of my social media is the same. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it is the Casey Lennox. And then you can buy my merch because money, honey. you can find my merch at CaseyLennox.com. Literally everything's on there. T-shirts, posters, calendars, literally everything. But follow me on the Casey Lennox. And I post quite often and I share my entire life. I'm pretty much an open book. I do respond a lot to comments and stuff like that. So yeah, follow me there.
Absolutely, friend. I would highly suggest it. If you're not following already, do it. If you haven't watched or wrestled yet, do it. But more importantly, stay tuned to Love Wrestling for some more great interviews, some more great guests, including hopefully Casey Lennox here again in the near future. Casey, I can't say it enough, friend. I'm going to say it as soon as I stop recording, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you once again for taking the time. I appreciate the hell out of it.
Thank you.
Any time at all. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Stay tuned for the next one.